Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Wake up, America. Don't hit the snooze button. This is Jesus 911, Jesse Romero, one-man car. And I am here broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the Southwest. Welcome to the show. You know that on Wednesdays we have spiritual warfare. I usually have my partner, Dr. Dan Schneider, with me. Dr. Dan has been doing a lot of writing as of late for these academic journals. And so he'll be back next month. But want to remind you that the month of June is the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. Regardless of what the world says about Pride Month, no. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. Okay, we don't celebrate Pride Month of any sexual sin. We celebrate the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. In 1693, Sister Margaret Mary Ella Coke, she had the first of four visions. And our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to her holding his heart in his hand. His heart was exposed in his hand. And he was telling us about how much love he has for us. And so it's a good thing to consecrate ourselves and our family every single day to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's also good to have a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus somewhere in the living room in the most prominent place, because what that does is you're putting the world on notice, especially Satan, that Jesus Christ is King and Lord of your house, your marriage, and your families. And so here's a brief consecration prayer that I do every single morning to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, sufferings of this day in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. I offer them for the intentions of your most sacred heart, the salvation of souls, the reparation for sin, the reunion of all Christians, and we pray for the intentions of our bishops and all the apostles of prayer, and especially for the traditional intentions of the Holy Father this month, and then a consecration prayer to Our Lady as well. My Queen, my Mother, I give myself entirely to you, and to show you my my consecration, I give to you my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, most loving mothers, I am your own. Keep me, defend me as your property and possession. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you heard about generational spirits? Are they a fact or fiction? Well, here's an area where exorcists from both camps. So when I say both camps, you have exorcists that appeal more to the charismatic leaning of exorcism as a gift. Then you'll have another camp of exorcists that appeal to, again, the traditional monastic approach to exorcism. On the issue of generational spirits, this is where both camps agree on. The charismatic exorcist within the church and the traditional monastic exorcist within the church. This is an area where they would both agree in. There are several priests that have written books on the phenomenon known as generational spirits and the healing of the family tree, which is a process to eliminate the effects of ancestral sins on the present generation. Now, this is not official Catholic teaching, but it's worthy of a healthy discussion because you do find a biblical basis for this. This would probably be called speculation theology. And this, the generational spirits or the healing of the family tree, this was actually a book written by an Episcopalian minister, which became very popular amongst charismatic priests. But you will find, again, a lot of biblical basis for this this theology. But here's an area, once again, where as good Catholics, we can bring up our point of view and we can discuss these things. I don't think there's anybody that will deny that all of us are affected by our ancestors. In other words, we have positive things that happened with our ancestors, and we also have negative effects as a result of our ancestors. Many Catholics through the ages have attained holiness through the spiritual acts of the saints, for example. Okay, so the saints are our ancestors, and as a result of our connection to them, a lot of holiness has happened throughout the generations of Catholics. But we also have the suffering in the saints for Christ. It goes into the spiritual bank of indulgences. Indulgences are like a storehouse, a treasure chest of spiritual benefits that we can use to reduce the temporal sufferings due to our sins. And this shows positive spiritual effects of the martyrs. It lasts through many generations. Similarly, you'll have exorcists and charismatic priests both attest to the fact that there are also negative effects through the ages caused by the sins of our fathers. And while original sin is the only sin inherited by us, they claim that the effects or the contamination of the family tree of serious sin, not of the guilt of the sin itself of our ancestors, but of, once again, just the effects of our ancestors' sin or the contamination, that it can also affect us today. We all know that if a father was an alcoholic and abused his wife, then the children would also suffer tremendously for a sin that they had nothing to do with. And if a mother cheats on her husband and a divorce ensues, the children would suffer tremendously for the sins of their mother. And studies have shown that most prostitutes, for example, had a horrible relationship with their parents and often felt abandoned by them. And when these prostitutes have children, they tend to abandon them as well, repeating the whole process to another generation. So what the Healing of the Family Tree ministry says is that there's also a generational spiritual component to sinfulness, dealing with demons who attach themselves to families caused by the sins of our ancestors. These demons are known as familial spirits. The bad effects by the sins of our ancestors have nothing to do with being punished by God for the sins of previous generations, as it tells us in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. In other words, this trauma is caused by our own sins, and it's not a punishment from God. Father John Hamm, may he rest in peace, he was a charismatic Claretian priest who participated for many years in exorcisms. He recently, again, died in November of 2020. But he dealt with a lot of people, and I knew him well, by the way, and he wrote a lot of good books that were very helpful. He really leaned heavily on scripture. But Father Hamsch dealt with a lot of people who had certain sinful tendencies, and he stated over and over again that original sin is the only sin that we humans inherit through birth. The distinction that so many people confuse with the Healing of the Family Tree program deals with the effects of ancestral sin and not the sin and not the guilt of the sin itself. Father John Hamsch claimed that we can inherit spiritual abnormalities, spiritual pathologies, just as people can inherit physical defects such as arthritis or cancer or heart problems, etc. And all of this is done, of course, by demons who attach themselves to families through sins such as Freemasonry, occultism, pornography, alcoholism, drug addiction, etc. What they normally do is to cause subsequent generations to have a tendency towards the same sins as their ancestors, or else to suffer from the effects of those sins. Again, these demons are known as familial spirits, and they specialize in causing alcoholism, lust, greed, and the other seven deadly sins. Father Hamsch claimed to have cured many people of the effects of these sins through the Eucharist and the Mass and through prayer, by specifically naming these people's sins, if known, and asking God for healing through the Eucharist. He also states that not all suffering is the cause of our ancestral sin, as Jesus Christ clearly tells us in John chapter 9, verse 3. Again, my name is Jesse Romero. We're talking about generational sin and the effects of generational sin. In John chapter 9, verse 3, our Lord basically says, Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him." So in this verse, our Lord is explaining in advance the purpose of the miracle and the purpose of the healing. It has nothing to do with his family's sins or his sin. So once again, not all suffering is the cause of our ancestral sin. We're going to continue talking about generational sin. And next, I'm going to tell you what Father Chad Ripperger has to say on this topic. Jesus 911, stick around. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol. My name is Jesse Romero, One Man Car. Wednesdays, we lean on spiritual warfare. And I want to continue discussing with you the whole topic of generational healing or generational spirits. It's speculative theology. It's not official Catholic teaching, but it does have some very good Catholic theologians, Catholic priests and exorcists based on scripture that they do support this. Father Chad Ripperger is an exorcist priest in Denver, Colorado, and he says that generational spirits or generational demons can attach themselves to families, God permitting, of course, through the sins of family members, especially through the authority figure in the family like the father, and through curses. That's why a mom and dad should never curse their children. Never, ever curse your children, because demons will listen to those words and they will act on your words. And so another way that people also do become contaminated through generational spirits is especially through the Freemason curse or through a satanic curse, even to a child in the womb. Father Ripperger says that the effects of the Freemason curse manifest as alcoholism, respiratory problems, or sexual molestation. And Father Ripperger states that if the father of a family watches pornography in the home, he's not only inviting the demon to attach itself to him, he's also giving the demon the power to cause problems for the entire family because of the authority that the father has over his own family. Then the demon can attach itself to the sons and daughters of the family and then to subsequent generations of that family. Priests usually say that the number one sin that they hear in confession is viewing pornography. So is it any wonder that the family structure is under attack in America? Father Ripperger also talks about Mark chapter 9, where Jesus exorcises a demon from a man's son who has been possessed from infancy. That means that either the son was cursed in the womb, or else the son is the victim of a generational spirit. In other words, the young man did nothing himself to cause the possession. It either came about through the sins of an ancestor or through a curse. Sometimes the generational spirit will manifest itself as one of the seven deadly sins, like pride. And in these cases, the family should strive to do just the opposite of that. In this case, humility. Practice humility. Practice the opposite virtue. If a family is afflicted with a generational spirit of greed, then the family should practice generosity through almsgiving. So what is the cure? How does one eliminate these generational demons? First, by not committing any more mortal sins. That's number one, because a mortal sin invites the demons into your family tree. Second, if the demons entered the family tree through a satanic curse, then true repentance, reception of the Holy Eucharist, and the Mass are the best ways to eliminate them, combined with forgiving the person who cursed you and naming the persons in your family tree who you know have committed specific sins and praying for forgiveness for those sins during a Mass offered for them cleanses the family tree. That's just the absolute power of the Mass. The Bible talks a lot about generational, you know, the effects of the ancestral, you know, generational sin, generational spirits. Here's a couple of Bible verses that would basically bolster the position of generational spirits. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, the Bible says, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity," that means the sins, "of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." So notice, God, he'll look at the sins of a man, the patriarch of the family, and those sins or the effect of those sins can be visited upon three to four generations down the family tree. It also says the same thing in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 40. It says, "But if they confess their sin and the sin of their fathers in their treachery, which they committed against me, and also in walking contrary to me." So notice, Leviticus 24, it talks about that we should be confessing the sins of our fathers. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child that is born to you shall die." Notice that David was forgiven, but there was a generational consequence as a result of that sin. You can see 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 11. Bible says, "Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your mind and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear down the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it in your days, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son." So there we see God speaking to Solomon, who's fallen into mortal sin. God tells him that because of his father David, there is going to be some protection on you, Solomon, but there's also going to be a consequence for your actions. I'm going to tear the kingdom away from you and out of the hand of your son. In Lamentations 5:7, the Bible says, "Our forefathers have sinned and are now dead, and we bear their punishment." Okay, that's very clear about generational sin or generational spirits and generational consequences. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7. You can't get any clearer than that. What about Wisdom chapter 3, verse 16? The Bible says, "But children of adulterers will not come to maturity, and the offspring of an unlawful union will perish." There it is. The consequences of the sins of your fathers is being visited upon the children, the Bible tells us in Wisdom chapter 3, verse 16. And remember, a lot of these sins, especially the seven deadly sins, there are demons attached to these sins. Matthew chapter 23, verses 35, the Bible says, our Lord says, "That upon you may come all the righteous bloodshed on earth, from the blood of innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all this will come upon this generation." So our Lord Jesus Christ says, all the innocent Jews or Israelites that have been killed by the wicked Israelites. He says all the blood of these innocent people from Abel all the way down to the very present day, our Lord says, it's that blood is going to come upon this generation. In other words, the consequences of those evil, violent actions are going to fall upon the generation that Christ lived during or lived at. So let me give you kind of a summary of this familiar spirits or generational spirits. Most Catholics have never heard of generational spirits or familial spirits or the healing of the family tree, because it's something that exorcists have discovered through dealing with the demonic. Again, it's not official Catholic doctrine found in the catechism, but that doesn't mean it's not real or it's not biblical, because Catholics have had holy masses said for their relatives for centuries. But this new understanding, this new ministry by some exorcist charismatic priest, not only cleanses the dead from the effects of their sins, but it also cleanses us of the residue left over here on earth from the sins of our ancestors. Here's a prayer that I pray. It's in my prayer book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle. I got this prayer from Father John Hamscht, and I pray this prayer every night before I go to bed. Saying the prayer, it combines the infinite power of the Eucharist and specifically naming them and their sins, if known, of your family, will produce a wonderful effect in you and your family now and in the years to come. Again, fathers should never curse their children or anybody in their family, ever, because the demons hear that, and then they attach themselves to the family member that the father cursed. Here's a prayer I pray every night. It's in my book. It's written by Father John Hamsch. It's his prayer. It goes like this: Heavenly Father, I come before you as your child in great need of your help. I have physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, and interpersonal needs. Many of my problems have been caused by my own fault, failure, neglect, and sinfulness, for which I humbly beg your forgiveness. But Father, I also ask you to forgive the sins of my ancestors whose failures have left their effects on me in the form of unwanted tendencies, behavior patterns, and defects in body, mind, and spirit. Heal me, O Lord, of all these disorders. Heavenly Father, with your help, I sincerely forgive everyone, especially living or dead members of my family tree who have directly offended me or my loved ones in any way, or those whose sins have resulted in our present sufferings and disorders. In the name of your Son, Jesus, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, I ask you, Eternal Father, to deliver me and my entire family from the influence of the devil. Free all living and dead members of my family tree, including those in adoptive relationships and those in extended family relationships, from every contaminating form of bondage. By your loving concern for us, Eternal Father, and by the most precious blood of your Son, Jesus, I beg you to extend your blessing to me and all my living and deceased relatives. Heal every negative effect transmitted through all past generations and prevent such negative effects in future generations of my family tree. Heavenly Father, I place the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ symbolically over the head of each person in my family tree and between each generation. I ask you to let the cleansing blood of Jesus purify the bloodlines in my family lineage. Set your protective angels to encamp around us and permit Archangel Raphael, the patron saint of healing, to administer your divine healing power to all of us, even in areas of genetic disability. Let your healing power be released at this very moment, and let it continue as long as your sovereignty permits. Amen. Again, this prayer was written by Father John Hamsch, and it's a good prayer to pray every single day for the living and dead family members. And here's the last paragraph where he writes, Heavenly Father, in our family tree, O Lord, replace all bondage with a holy bonding and family love. And let there be an ever deep bonding with you, Eternal Father, by the Holy Spirit to your Son, Jesus. Let the family of the Holy Trinity pervade our family with its tender, warm, loving presence, so that our family may recognize and manifest that love in all our relationships. All of our unknown needs, we conclude with this petition that we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Saint Joseph, patron of family life, pray for us in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be moving on to another topic. The next segment I want to talk to you about, again, the rise of witchcraft amongst women. Why are so many women embracing witchcraft in our country? We'll look into it. Stick around. Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us and protect us. Jesus 911, I'm doing the show from an undisclosed location here in Northern Arizona. I want to move on to another topic now. Why are so many women attracted to witchcraft? So what is witchcraft? Witchcraft is attracts people who want to be spiritual, people who want to know the future and lead others spiritually without submitting to God. Witchcraft is basically spiritual prostitution. Witchcraft is rebellion against God, coupled with a desire to be a spiritual leader and a spiritual warrior. And witchcraft draws its power from evil spirits, whether they know it or not. St. Paul talks about all these false religions like witchcraft. It's a pseudo-religion. It's a false religion. It's a pagan religion. St. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, this is why so many modern women are embracing witchcraft right now. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." Close quote. Doctrines of demons. This is exactly what witchcraft is. It's a doctrine of demons. So, did you know that witchcraft is on the rise amongst women in the United States? And there are four reasons why young women are embracing witchcraft. The four reasons why young women are embracing witchcraft all across America is, and again, this is a bad omen. This doesn't bode well for our country at all. This practice of witchcraft that's growing amongst young women in America. The new witches of today are different from the witches in the past. The trend involves more than just spells and dark secret rituals. It brings together a macabre brew of sexuality as well. They also infuse it with politics and the occult with never seen before intensity. So that's what we see today in witchcraft. It's a cocktail of sexuality, politics, and a type of intensity that we've never seen before. Today, witches are everywhere. Their posts of spells and hexes populate social media, books, literature, and spell manuals. They abound everywhere. Witches are also visible at Black Lives Matter rallies, protests, and other places in the public square. A leftist appeal, that's what witchcraft really is. Witchcraft is a leftist appeal to be spiritual. And one reason why young women are embracing witchcraft is that it's so spiritual. If you like it or not, humans are composite beings of body and soul. And modernity has done much to destroy the spiritual dimension of things by its materialistic mindset. So there's an immense spiritual void in society today. And remember, St. Paul's warned us that our struggle against the powers of darkness, against demons. Our postmodern culture now embraces intensely spiritual witchcraft as trendy and acceptable, especially for young women. And this shift represents a turnabout for the left that hates religion and constantly complains about the connections between Christianity and the right. So now the left, the cultural left, cultural Marxists, now they're filling the void by going spiritual. But the cultural left, their spirituality is towards the darkness. Because now you have these woke witches. These woke witches are appearing online and offline to make common cause with liberal movements. So the political left is welcoming the coven into its tent. The coven is a group of witches or Satanists. Usually 13 people comprise the coven. So we see Marxist philosophy and magic are coming together, and not even the left's most secular supporters are complaining. They seem to be cool with it. Marxism, the philosophy of Karl Marx, it thrives upon the idea of class struggle. And so the witch easily fits in to this false narrative by targeting young women as an oppressed group striving to be heard. So witchcraft infuses energy into the exhausted Marxist dialectic. So its dark fascination allows people to connect with rebel spirits that promise power to the powerless. You don't believe me? During some of the Black Lives Matters and Antifa riots that we saw within the last year, in some of the places, there's also video of witches, of women dressed like witches in the middle of the riot, and they were projecting curses and hexes and incantations towards the police as the rioters have baseball bats and, you know, raiding the Target store or burning down the police station or throwing Molotov cocktails or jumping on police cars. As that's going on, at the same time, there's witches out there projecting curses and hexes towards the police department and society at large. So there's an absolute nexus. These witches have gone political. Today's witches believe that witchcraft magic is a dark spiritual power that should be weaponized for social change and self-aggrandizement. So they've embraced the political left and they work together. What we're watching today is radical feminism and witchcraft come together. There's a second reason why witchcraft attracts women. And the reason is that it's increasingly identified with the feminist cause. So the feminist agenda for rights and political power no longer looks only for secular expression. It is now finding a voice in the macabre. There's always been an occult element in the feminist underground. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. But now that current is surfacing and proclaiming what none dared to say in times past. Proud witches claim their time has come, and they're willing to hex and spell their way into power. In fact, the three black female founders of Black Lives Matter, they admit that they're witches, all three of them. And they also admit that they're cultural Marxist. They're also lesbians. Okay? There are three radical feminists that are trying to employ the occult powers that come from Satan so that they can empower their movement. Another witch who was interviewed recently, Witch Gabriella Hurstick, she says in Sabbat magazine that witchcraft is feminism. It's inherently political, close quote. She admits it. Witchcraft is feminism and it's political. Also, history professor Ronald Hutton suggests that the word witch is synonymous with feminine or feminist. Witch and feminist are synonyms, like saying car and automobile. The witch oppression of the past was just female oppression. That's what Professor Ronald Hutton says. So the word needs to be rehabilitated. Seattle-based witch and Instagram influencer Brie Luna says, "Every woman is a witch," close quote. So Brie Luna, who's a witch and very active in Instagram, of course, she's not going to be canceled for advocating the dark side. She says every woman is a witch. Close quote. In my opinion, women that embrace witchcraft, these are women that are emotionally wounded ladies as a result of generational spirits within their family tree, and or they had a horrible father and or a horrible husband. But now witchcraft has become woke and mainstream. And witchcraft, it's just to be honest, it's reinforced by the liberal woke establishment. So witchcraft fits well into the cutting edge of identity politics and critical race theory. Becoming a witch makes the young feminist an activist for all those who oppose the hated patriarchy and the church. Remember, patriarchy comes from God. Commentator April Graham says, quote, a witch is somebody who stands against patriarchy and everything that is currently wrong with our society and any society throughout the ages, close quote, close quote. And the witch that I just mentioned to you before, witch Gabriella Hurstick, defines the witch as the woman who doesn't do what the church or patriarchy wants. Did you catch that? Okay. The witch, Gabriella Hurstick, she defines being a witch as a woman who doesn't do what the church or patriarchy wants. Who gave us patriarchy? God did. Jesus 911, we'll be right back. Don't change that dial. We'll keep talking about why young women are attracted to witchcraft.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, we place our trust in thee. Jesse Romero, Jesus 911, One Man Car Wednesday, Spiritual Warfare, talking about why so many women in America are attracted to witchcraft. Radical feminist witches, they hate patriarchy. Why? Because patriarchy, it was established by God. I'm not talking about machismo, okay? That wasn't established by God, what Islamist men do to women, or what the Mexican cartels do to women, okay? Or what the Italian mafia does to women, okay? That will be dealt with at the particular judgment. That's a mortal sin that every man that's involved in that machismo lifestyle and subjugating women as second-class citizens, they will pay before the judgment seat of Christ. But I'm talking patriarchy that was established by God was established for the protection of women and children. Protection, which oftentimes means you got to protect women from yourself, from your own disordered passions and appetites. But radical feminists, they hate patriarchy because it was established by God. Citizens are protected by civil patriarchy. Think about law enforcement, military, government, judges. That's civil patriarchy. The church is protected by episcopal patriarchy. Those are priests and bishops. And then you have the husband patriarch of the family, of the domestic church. And by the way, St. Joseph, if you're looking for a role model for the husband patriarch, look no further. St. Joseph, in the year of St. Joseph right now that we are in, St. Joseph, he should be our role model. I remember Ariel Gore's 2019 book called Hexing the Patriarchy, 26 Potions, Spells, and Magical Elixirs to embolden the Resistance. This book gives you some kind of idea of the activism now that's so open in our society. And again, a lot of these a lot of this men have brought upon themselves because they have treated women as second-class citizens, you know, certain segments of society. And so these women, instead of embracing a cross of redemptive suffering, a lot of them have turned to witchcraft. There's also other manuals on activist hexing, and they're selling well on Amazon and other platforms, and it's entering the mainstream of society. There was an article on the Unheard website, UNHERD website. It was Professor Susanna Lipscomb. She reports on protesters in Boston in August 2017 dressed as witches. And they brandished signs saying, "Witches against white supremacy," close quote. And they also had signs that said, "Hex white supremacy," close quote. So these manifestations are becoming more and more common in the public square. Witches are getting way more political, and they're politically on the left. The final reason why so many women embrace witchcraft is that the church is increasingly absent from this debate. No proportional reaction exists on the part of the church to counter and denounce the growing exposure to the occult found in the media, films, and schools. Indeed, most people take a materialistic perspective that refuses to recognize dark spirits or angelic hosts, because to them, witchcraft is a development of powers within the person. So many witches will also identify with this broad light definition of witchcraft without a direct link to Satanism. But we know that witchcraft draws its power from spirits. Witchcraft is just another subset of Satanism, whether they know it or not. But how many souls would be saved if they had recourse to the Mother of God, using the greatest weapon against Satan, the Blessed Virgin Mary's Holy Rosary? The devil's very real, and he appears throughout history in all his hideousness. Witchcraft in any form eventually takes a person to things dark and sinister, and those who dabble in the occult not only play with fire but risk eternal damnation. It will ultimately lead to bonding with the devil and the fires of hell. The failure to take this threat seriously facilitates the downfall of many, especially young women, who fall for the devil's lies and false promises. The best defense against witchcraft is a strong supernatural and sacramental life that fills the postmodern spiritual void with Catholic authenticity. And this gives the person the strength to fight the growing satanic culture. And can you imagine how many people would be saved if they had recourse to the Mother of God, using the greatest weapon against Satan, which is the Blessed Virgin Mary's Holy Rosary? As my friend Dr. Taylor Marshall says, if you're not praying the rosary every day, you're not on the team. Remember, the rosary is a weapon, says St. Padre Pio. It's a weapon against the diabolical, and it helps us defeat the heresy of modernism. And Our Lady of Guadalupe, remember, the word Guadalupe means the one who smashes the serpent. Guadalupe means the one who smashes the serpent. There's a prayer that a lot of people don't realize. It was written by St. Patrick of Ireland. He was the bishop back in the 4th century. And he composed a prayer against witchcraft. Absolutely. He composed a prayer against witchcraft. A lot of people don't realize that St. Patrick of Ireland, again, one of the very first exorcists we've ever had in the church, back in the 4th century. Did you catch that? 4th century. And I know there's a lot of satanic and witchcraft activity, even amongst our family members. So if you want to know how to actively pray against this, there's a prayer. It's called the Breastplate of St. Patrick. or St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. And it's a prayer that he gave us to protect us from witchcraft and sorcery. It goes like this, these last couple of minutes. I'll just pray it. It's actually an exorcism prayer that protects us from the curses, incantations, and hexes from witches, sorcerers, wizards, and witches. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. I bind this day to me forever by power of faith, Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death on the cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spice tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom. I bind unto myself today, I bind unto myself the power of the great love of the cherubim, the sweet well done in judgment hour, the service of the seraphim, confessor's faith, apostle's word, the patriarch's prayers, the prophet's scrolls, all good deeds done unto the Lord, and purity of virgin souls. I bind unto myself today the virtues of the starlit heaven, the glorious sun life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon at evening, the flashing of the lightning free, the whirling winds, tempestuous shocks, the stable earth, the deep salt rocks, around the old eternal rocks. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard against the demon snares of sin, the vice that gives temptation force, the natural lust that war within, the hostile men that mark my course, or few or many, far or nigh, in every place, in all our hours, against their fierce hostility. I bind to me these holy powers, against all Satan's spells and wiles, against false words of heresy, against the knowledge that defiles, against the heart's idolatry, against the wizard's evil craft, against the death wound and the burning, the choking wave and the poison shaft. Protect me, Christ, till thy return. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friends and stranger. I bid unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one, the one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's St. Patrick's breastplate prayer. It's a minor exorcism prayer. It's an approved prayer to be prayed by lay people. If you have evidence of witchcraft or the occult, sorcery, anybody in your family that's involved in the dark occult practices, that's a good prayer to pray every day to protect you and your family from this diabolical infiltration, which is witchcraft. And by the way, if you want to deep dive into witchcraft, for those of you that have my book, The Devil in the City of Angels, I think the second or third to the last chapter at the end of the book, I have a whole chapter on witchcraft, the origins of witchcraft, and what the Bible has to say about witchcraft from the Old and New Testament. So I do a deep dive on witchcraft for those of you that have that book. I think you'll find the theology deeply interesting and biblical, and this way you'll be able to fight against it. Again, my name is Jesse Romero. This is Jesus 911, One Man Car. Up next, you're going to have Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. Gary comes to us from across the country over in the Midwest Command Center in Michigan. And just want to remind you that if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button. If you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button. And again, let people know about this show. We want to grow this show. And we want to just get people out there to be aware of spiritual warfare. So again, if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. This is the year of St. Joseph. St. Joseph, Terror of Demons, pray for us. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.